you'll say, I'm going to take the limits off God and off of myself in Christ. I'm amazed how I can have an audio going. I listen to the Bible quite a bit just on audio. I like to redeem the time and make the best use of it. When I'm driving on so-called wasted time, I've learned to make the best use of that time. But it's amazing how I have the Word going, and then I'll be driving 10 minutes, and my mind went to drifting and thinking on something, and I didn't hear a word that the audio was saying. You know? So let's pray right now, because you don't want that to happen. Right here, all right? Come on. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Word. I thank you that the enemy is bound. He who tries to snatch the Word, Satan, you are bound in Jesus' name, every hindering spirit. Because we are submitted to God, I resist you in Jesus' name. So you have to flee according to the Word and authority of God. Lord, I bless your Word. I thank you for your Word, that it will bear fruit today. I thank you, God, for the anointing of your Spirit that will help captivate us and to be attuned to your Word. I ask, God, for you to strengthen this little man up here to speak your Word with grace and truth and your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, verse 26, verse 64, Jesus said to Pilate, these people, or to the Sanhedrin at the time of his trial, he said, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power. Look at that. What a name for the Father. Jesus said, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power. God is power. In 2 Peter verses 1, 2 to 3, we know that God's power has been given to us. He began by saying, grace and peace multiply to you, increase to you. You know, when God increases his grace to you, that means weakness goes and you're strengthened. That means you have favor. When he increases and he multiplies his peace to you, that means there's no room for anxiety or fear. That's how he introduced a lot of his letters. He just grace multiplied and peace to you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus, the more you know God and his Son, the more you will know his grace and his peace, and it will become a part of your daily experience. And then it says, as his divine power, because he is power, has given, past, present, future, has given, is giving, and will give to you all things. So it's something he's provided at the cross. So we know in Romans 8, for he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely. I mean, if he didn't withhold his Son from us, he's not going to withhold anything else. We know that Jesus said, he prophesied, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So we obviously need God's divine power to live godly lives in a very ungodly world, and to have the power of his life enabling us to walk in newness of life by the power of the glory of the Father, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've mentioned this before, but I saw a red Corvette the other day sitting at a red light, which was months ago. And then once the light turned green, it took off with a quick speed and lots of power down the highway. And I was watching it only to settle down to 55 miles per hour. And I thought to myself, man, all that power only to be limited to a small speed limit sign. What a pity. Then I realized that the Lord set me up once again to communicate a spiritual reality to me and to his people. So he reminded me, I was driving in the car, of this Psalm 78. We're going to look at this, verses 40 to 43. And speaking about the history of God's people, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. You know, the desert spoke of the day of their trial. It wasn't to do them in. It was to build them up. It was to get, as we've come to say, the world of Egypt out of them, to wane them in the desert, to get that stuff out of their life, to bring them to a place of absolute trust in God. But they provoked him. Y'all ever been provoked by someone before? Like it just gets to you after a while, you know? And by the way, I've learned, if you just try to ignore the devil, he doesn't go away. You ever hear that? Just ignore, you know, a sibling or something. Just ignore them, they'll stop. Well, Jesus didn't say, at least to my recollection, ignore the devil, he'll go away. No, it's like you've got to resist him. And that's using your authority. You've got to take your sword of the Spirit out, which is the Word of God, and you've got to jab him with it. And when you resist him with the Word, like Jesus did, left us an example, then he will go away. Say thank you for that reminder. Say thank you for that reminder. Good. It's all right, come on. Yes. It's another way of saying amen. So they provoked him in the wilderness, and they grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Wow. They did not remember his power. That's one way we limit God. We grieve him through various ways. We provoke him. Instead of releasing his power towards us, he releases divine discipline. What do we want? The power of God working with us and for us to be his vibrant witnesses, to have his favor? Or do we want to be under his divine discipline? Say power. Yes. And so we learn from these examples to not do what they did and to do what the right things people did. But they limited him. And another way they limited him is because it says they did not remember him. And they didn't remember his power. You're like, how can you forget all the works he did to deliver them? And they just soon forgot. And they begin to whine. I've got a saying now, stop whining and start dining. From the story of Martha and Mary. Martha was so troubled. And that's an amen. Thank you. See, she was so troubled and worried. And you know, and she was the one who invited Jesus in the house. And it's like all of us. We all have Bibles in our house. We've all invited Jesus in our house. And sometimes we can get in a fit. We can get in a state of whining. And we're troubled. We're actually troubled. We're actually worrying. We're fearful about things. And then we're starting to fuss and complain to God about people. And that's what Martha's doing. And so, you know, the Lord said in a nice way. He said, Martha, Martha. So she didn't have a middle name. You are troubled, worried about many things. But Mary has chosen the good part. He just said good part. It's something we're all should do. It should be the best part of our day with King Jesus. We get to dine with him. So Mary was dining with Jesus and partaking, sitting at his feet, hearing his word. And no doubt when that time was up, she got up with hope. She got up with nourishment. And she went about doing her chores. But with a song, with a skip. Staying in tune with Jesus. So I just, hey, everybody say, stop whining and start dining. Yay, we got that. So they provoked and they grieved God by tempting him, by their lusting after evil things, by idolatry, putting things before the one who delivered them. It's amazing how we can put things before God. But when we're in trouble, we call upon God. So we don't want to do that. We want to keep God before us and always at our right hand as our God. He who is the fountain of living waters. He who has the words of life. He who is the bread from heaven. He who holds our breath in his hand, keeps our heart beating. He who is the key to heaven. Amen. He is Jesus. Yes, in him is life, and his life is the light of man. His life is the power of the light in you. Yes, indeed. He is so good to be with. He is so good to be with. The speed limit signs limited the powerful Corvette. And here we see how these people limited the all-powerful God with their sins and doubts and unbelief. Not only did these things limit God and his power in their lives, or as it does in our own lives, but they limited them and us from walking in the fullness of God and provided for them that he has provided for them to walk in and us. So we're going to take a moment and just look at some of these things. Here is God with all this power, all this ability, all this greatness, who's given us exceedingly great and precious promises, who declared to us that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's supposed to work, and it works in us when we learn to know how to release that power through our faith, through our obedience. When we pray with faith in our heart, when we step out in obedience, the power of God is released. So when we don't do those things, we're limiting this almighty God and we're limiting the power that he's given to work in us. When you pray with faith, it is powerful. It can change a life. It can move someone from destruction. It is an amazing secret way to bear much fruit. James knew it well. That's why he penned the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman avails much, produces wonderful results, and the devil knows it, and that's why he seeks earnestly to distract, to divert God's people from that place of prayer. And puts all his lies, as many as he can, into the minds of God's people to turn them away from being persistent in prayer, because the devil knows that God answers. He has a history of the knowledge of God, him answering prayer. And he knows that it destroys parts of his kingdom and steals many of his trophies, people that he has through deception. But through prayer, God moves. We need to pray until he answers. and have our lives and our attitudes right before Him. It's like a football team having the most gifted player by far, 50% above even the second gifted. And the coach keeps him on the bench. We would be like, "What are you doing, coach? Get him on the field. We want to win." And too many have the Holy Spirit in their lives sitting on the bench. When He's been given to us as an amazing helper from heaven. He will tell you things to come. He will reveal the Father. He'll reveal the Son to us. The Son reveals the Father to us. He will testify of Jesus. He makes Him rich to us. He enables us to rightly testify of Jesus to other people. He enables us to minister to people. He is everything life to us. And the fruit of Him living in us causes us to become loving. No matter what the situation is, peaceful, even in a chaotic world, joyful, even when you're in a distressful situation at times. The fruit of the Spirit in us produces self-control when we're being tempted. Meekness, and the meek inherit the earth. He produces faith in us so that we're faith-filled and faithfulness. And so we learn the more we yearn for God's Spirit in dependency, the more we will have Him in our daily activity. You know what it means to yearn? If you've had children, you've seen yearning when they really want something. Y'all know what I'm saying? When that baby wants milk, you'll eventually hear it. It is yearning. I am hungry. And that's what we do. God, my spirit needs nourishment. I come to You. Lord, I need to be filled with Your Spirit. I yearn for Him. And if our spirit is sensitive, when we even drift from the will of God, we will even sense the yearning of the Spirit in us. That's James 4. He yearns jealously. It's the Father's Spirit. It's the Spirit of your Savior. It's the Spirit of Christ in us saying, "Son, daughter, don't go that way." He's yearning. Get back on path. So when we're sensitive to Him, we will even sense His yearning in us. What a gift the Spirit is. Come on, if you have Him on the bench, say, "Holy Spirit, You're not being on the bench anymore. Rise up and let's just get in Your field and help me play this game right." Amen? So by God's design, He's purposed for His power to work in us and through us. Wow. You know, God's power is manifested every time a person is saved from their sins, from hell below, through the gift of the cross. It's the power of a changed life accomplished by the power of Christ coming in that person's life. My brother's moved back into town. He just told me not too long ago, Jacob's met him, David. He said, "Yeah, I just tell people, you know, I knew Jesus was real because how He changed my older brother's life. I didn't know I was that bad, David. And so to change, that is a testimony to the power of God in a changed life, a changed heart with new desires. You, all of a sudden you wake up with these new desires. Where did that come from? My, it's the Spirit of God creating them. It's Ezekiel 36 being fulfilled in a new convert that continues to go on till we see him face to face. God's power is manifested when he responds to our prayers, when the Spirit supernaturally leads us or comforts us. When we're made bold to witness Christ, his power is manifested. His power is manifested when he heals people of sickness, diseases. His power is seen and experienced when he enables us to walk in victory over sins, demonic strongholds, or negative emotions. It's displayed when we resist the devil in the name and authority of Jesus, and he actually runs from us because he trembles at that name. He can't stand up to the word of God. You and I are made powerful when we take in the word of God and let it permeate, and it works in us, and it produces the purpose of the seed of the word in us, because his word is living and is powerful, and it makes you and I living and powerful. It endures forever. That's why we need to feed on it day by day. Jesus said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of him in his humanity. So those who feed on me will live because of me. That means we feed. That baby will die if it doesn't feed. And so will you and I spiritually. We need to feed on him. You put the devil in his place and don't let him steal your time with Jesus, beloved. That is a good place to put your foot down, say amen, because that's what he's after. He wants to steal your relationship with Jesus. That's what he comes to do. If we spend 5 minutes with Jesus and hours on the TV, something's got to change. And I have to examine myself, how much of the life of God is in me. And then I just need to go back, how much of my feeding on the life of God? He said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. By the way, I love you in Christ. There's been a lot of prayer from people going in to those who would come today, because you are loved, you are valued, you are cherished. But we know that there is a devil out there, as you do, that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. I cannot afford to back up on my prayer life for myself, my marriage, my family, or for his church. Can anybody afford to back up on your prayer life? No. So power limit sign number one. I'm just going to give you four of them. Amen. Would y'all stand up with me just for a moment? If you're able to stand, come stand up. Let's lift our hands. I say, Lord, energize me. I receive your word today. Move me by your spirit and word. Help me to advance in the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Mark chapter 6, 5 and 6. Jesus came to his own country. It says he could do no mighty works there. Now here's the Almighty. And he could do no mighty works. They limited the mighty one. Except that he healed a few sick people. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So unbelief limit God. Now, the Lord used me to heal a number of little acts. He said you can move mountains. Well, I've begun to start at anthills and use my faith. An anthill to me was a fever, it was a headache. You know, so we've experienced this in the upper room. Someone would say that, and you just get that unction of the Holy Spirit, leave her head in Jesus' name. Instantly gone. That's an anthill. A mountain could be cancer. And so I've been used with a few mighty acts that just like stories last Sunday with Jack Rutten. That was amazing. Healed his knee. I don't know if he got a new one or not. Back all in a moment. Saved him, filled him with the Holy Spirit, healed his knee. He had 6 surgeries. The next one was pending, ready for that, and then healed his back. He was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and left that office a healed man. That was a mighty act. Like, wow. And the Lord just really, I wasn't surprised in a sense, because faith is not so much surprise. But I was surprised because I wasn't expecting that, you know. And like, wow. So I'm looking for more of those things happening. A man came down here last Sunday night and was healed right here. He had a job-related accident, unable to support his wife, his kids, was out, and he testified that his back was 98% better. And right there on the spot, right in front of everybody, you know, someone's neck was healed of whatever they had going on, right there on the spot. Others, you lay hands on the sick, and this is the power of God, but unbelief will quench all that. Doubt will do that. But God will even help. The wondering we have, and yeah, I believe, but you know, let him help it and let us move on. Let us advance and be the church. And signs will follow those who, yeah, they will. In my name. Church, Jesus has given us his name. He has all authority in heaven and earth. We need to exercise that, grow in the revelation of it. That's authority over everything, contrary to his will. It is amazing. We were praying here on a certain Friday night. So this may be really bizarre to some of you. I don't know your experience, but others it's not. But a gift of discerning of spirits. So it wasn't anybody having a spirit, but it was a spirit that was affecting this body. So I was over there where Kristen was, and we were praying in the spirit. When you're praying in the spirit, you're praying God's promises, you're reminding him of those. It's something that you do when you pray, not that he needs to be reminded, but he's like, put me in remembrance. And you give him his word, and you say, God, you said, and you're praying that with meekness and humility, yet with confidence. God, you said, and all your promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And so I'm giving this to you, and I pray, God, we are dependent on you fulfilling your promises. And so, and we're praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, right here, with this light shining, I saw, it was a beautiful white chair, a couch, sofa thing, like you put, like a love seat, you know, 2 people. It was just, man, it looked so inviting, you know, because Friday night prayer. But it wasn't tired then, but sometimes when 9 o'clock rolls along, you just want to sit in that thing. But it was just like right there, and I'm like, sometimes I'm like, you know, wait a minute, what am I seeing? So when it first happens, you know, it's kind of bizarre. What is this? But after, all of a sudden, you're realizing it's a gift of the Spirit, discerning spirits. So all of a sudden, this beautiful, white, shining, inviting, comfortable love seat. Here's what it did. It just came to life. Like this. And it was a demon. It was like this. That might sound bizarre to some of you, but here's, and it was just like, then the words were, so in the spirit realm, it's saying, come, sit down on me. Relax. Catch up on what's going on in the world. You need to rest. You've prayed enough. Come, sit down. So, yep, I'm over here. And I was like, my. Okay. I remembered in Hosea, because another discerning of spirits in that area was granted. And he said, a spirit of harlotry is in your midst. So it wasn't possessing a person. It was in their midst, exerting power. It's a power of darkness. A principality is a prince over a polity. It's a dark spirit over an area. That's why you can drive through certain towns. You just go up north here, West Monroe, and you drive through some of those certain towns, you'll feel some stuff come on you sometimes. If you're sensitive to the spirit or the Lord's letting you sense it, you're like, man, it's a perverse spirit in this area. Or it's a this spirit. And you just say, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, raise your hand, because others think I'm weird. You know? I mean, just like a spirit of lust can just pop on you, you know, because you've just come under a domain where a prince is operating in that jurisdiction. That's why Jesus said, some people don't see results over areas, Brian, because they're not binding the strong man. They just aimlessly going, I bind the spirit of this, spirit of that, spirit of that. I'm like, are you going anywhere with that? Who's initiating your binding? But when God opens our eyes, then you will see and you will know. And so what this is, it really helped me to see. Because what happens is this spirit, I'm not saying he's there, that's where the Lord opened my eyes. But in our midst, what he does, he exerts a power. So if what would you call that spirit? Slumber. It's a spirit on assignment to exert power, to get God's people into a passivity mode. To get comfortable. Let the pastor feed me. And I just go. I mean, there's all ways of looking at it. And we just come. We just come dragging. Or we're just always late. There's no enthusiasm. It's a spirit operating. It's like, well, it's time to go to church already. And we're, you know, we're entertaining ourselves with something on TV, or we got distracted. Oh, let's go. We got to go. You see, it affects our attitudes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, it's like, wow. So you have guests that will come early, and they're wondering where everybody is. And they're like, what's up? Could very well be a spirit operating and working to distract a church. Y'all don't take that wrong. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But when we sense this is being revealed to us, he's exposing, and what we take authority over that spirit. Y'all know what I'm saying? You take authority. You don't let it exist. You uproot it. You are to remove barriers. You're to remove what's hindering the power of God from working. We would repent. You know, it's like if the shoe fits, you acknowledge it, I would, but don't wear it. I have to say, God, forgive me. If I've been lazy, if I've been slothful, forgive me for that. I'm not going to let that operate my life. Amen? I mean, you know, we are called. It's Titus chapter 2 up there. If you'll put Titus 2, 11 to 14. Yes. Everybody smile at me, please. Big smile. Thank you. We don't want to limit God. We want to take the limits off of God, take the limits off of ourselves. That means we have to uproot like a speed limit sign. We're going to uproot a limit sign that says unbelief. You know, we're going to uproot that. We're going to uproot a thing of, you know, if it's laziness, I'm going to uproot that. I will not be lazy. Yes, we all need rest. And he promised to give rest to our soul. You all know what I'm talking about. Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation, right here, that brings salvation has appeared to all people, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, This is the cross, his grace, it teaches us that we should say no to ungodliness and worldly lusts. They're going to pass away anyway, but whoever does the will of God will abide forever. So the cross weans us, cuts us. It's like an umbilical cord that's cut. I don't feed on the lusts of the world anymore. I feed on Christ. Come on, that's good preaching, y'all. You know what I'm saying? The Lord, it's like the cross cuts the umbilical cord. That's why Paul said, man, when I say that's good preaching, this is the Holy Spirit, it's not me. So it's like Paul said, I won't boast in anything except the cross of my Lord, by whom I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. So the grace of God doesn't teach us to keep sinning. How can those people in church come up with some doctrine that says it's okay to do that? It's amazing how they're condoning certain lifestyles. I'm going to be, so you want to condone that so it's okay to murder people and still be a pastor? It's okay to keep stealing and be a pastor? You got to be kidding me. And still be saved? What's going on? My Bible says, don't let anybody deceive you. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lists it. Adulterers, it doesn't mean someone who badly fell into sin once. When saying adultery, they just keep going that way. Adultery, covetousness, drunkards, extortioners, even those, fornicators, homosexuals, idolaters, revilers, sodomites, and thieves, and liars. That's all in 1 Corinthians 6. You can look at that later. It says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not. That's the Bible. They will not. And then he said, and such were some of you. He's talking to the church. Some of you were that. But you were washed. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he's like, don't even go there. You were. Now walk it out. Amen? Amen? Come on. A little leaven. Yeah, don't even accept a little. It is not okay to sin. It is not okay. Some would be like, well, do you sin sometimes? Yes, but it's not okay. It is not. Ask him, Jesus, is it okay if I sin? Ask him. No, I've come to take your sin away. I've come to empower you. I've come to empower you to live godly. But if you do, my child, I'm an advocate with the Father. There is forgiveness, but it's not okay for you to sin. Don't get that yeast in your mind. Don't let that attitude get in there. Well, it's okay. It is not. He came to take it away. He spoke through Peter, who bore our sins in his own body. Look what it cost him. So that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. See, lack of knowledge limits Almighty God. As soon as someone's saved, they need to be discipled and be filled with the Holy Spirit and get in the Word and have mentors in their life and take them through the book of Romans, the whole book, the Roman road, the crucifixion. So it wasn't just Jesus that died on the cross. It was your old man. The body of sins, so it can be done away with, so you won't be a slave to sin. You don't need those drugs. You don't need that sex. You don't need that alcohol. He will fulfill all your desires, and you will live abundantly. Oh, Jesus. Lord, wake us up. Why is it quiet? Jesus, beloved. And if you're sitting there thinking, I know all that, then go witness and make some disciples and give them what you know. Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody's wondering, what's this note up here? It's in Hebrew. Makes me look intelligent. Just kidding. I don't know how to read Hebrew, but I know it says, I am the Lord who heals you. So the grace of God that brings salvation to all of us, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live, back to Titus, that we should live, there it is, soberly, righteously, and godly. Let me say, the grace of God doesn't just teach us. In other words, he who came to save me, how can I go back to sin? It's what he came to save me. How can I look at him and go back? I've seen my dog growing up throw up and go to it. That grossed me out. I'm like, no, you ain't eating that. That's even in the Bible. It's a proverb, and then Peter uses it. And like dogs, they go back. We're pigs. After washed, they go back to their wallowing in the mire. Don't do that. Look at the grace. Go. It doesn't just teach us, beloved. It empowers us, doesn't it, Jacob? It empowers us. It'll empower us every day. Grace empowers us. That's why there's the appeal to go to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Yes, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Look at verse 13. Looking, Brittany, for the blessed hope. Your bridegroom, Jesus, is coming for you. Remember when you were after Brian and his eyes were finally opened? Remember that? What a gift. The other way around. I heard her story. The other way around. It's like, I love seeing it. And I got to do premarital counseling and it's like, yes. And I love my wife after 30 years. I am so blessed to have such a gift, and I still pursue her. She's worth pursuing, and so are you. But this Jesus, your bridegroom, is coming for you. Remember how you got ready? There were no other guys. You know what I'm saying? It's Brian only. And Brian wouldn't have it any other way, would you? No? See? And your bridegroom's coming for you, Brian. You. There's no other man. How much did he want you, Brian? You are something special, man. You've got an amazing call on your life. It is so powerful. He will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. He will satisfy your soul in drought. You're to be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And people will come and you're just going to touch them, Brian. And they're going to, what is this? And you will say, this is that. That's Isaiah 58, 11 and 14. Yours, Jesus, looking for the blessed hope. Beloved, are you looking for your bride? No other lovers. I love my wife, but I love Jesus more. Not rather, but more. And what he gives me, my wife never can. You open the door to him and just make yourself sit down if you have to until you have unbridled devotion. And he will come in and dine. He will fellowship. He will speak to you. That's why his spirit is in you. He is so rich. He will take you places in the spirit. You will come to know him like never before. You, after that, you'll just run to him. You won't miss it. He will become your best delight. He will shower you with his love. He will become your favorite person. Looking for the blessed hope. And look at his appearing is glorious. He's coming with the elect angels. For us, whose names are in the book of life. You talk about a coming to us. You think he'd love us or something. Appearing of our great Savior Jesus Christ. I love this verse 14. Look at verse 14. Who gave himself. He gave himself for us. He gave himself. He gave himself. I was in my office the other day, and I was just like, you became a man. I can never get beyond that, God. You became one of us. That's amazing. Y'all, he became one of us to redeem us from every lawless deed, every sin. How can people with Bibles come up with some other doctrine? I love that. And purify for himself. Y'all, he didn't purify us to go live in the world. It's for himself. We belong exclusively to him. Right? Right? You say to Brittany, you are mine. Brian, you are mine. There's no others. Same thing in your marriage with Jesus. You've been married to the one exclusively. He purified us for himself. Not to go and do with our bodies what we want. Not to go live as we please. But to serve him out of oneness. On the job, where you go, living ready, being his ambassadors. It is an amazing partnership. Look at that, zealous. When I would look at that before, I'm like, God, I am not zealous for good works. I am not zealous all the time. And not nearly as much as I should be. I said, God, open my eyes. I want your grace to instruct me, show me how I should be zealous. Not out of obligation, but zealous for good works. Because what that produces is a lot of fruit. That brings him a lot of glory. For someone he saved, cleansed, redeemed, purified for himself.